Good morning. And indeed, a happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I don't know if I dare mention one particular one. I'm going to do this without, I'm sure, offending any of you other mothers. Jenny Navarro. A mother to many. Turn in your Bibles to page number 901, which is John chapter 14. Yes, it is in the same chapter and chapters as our pastor has been preaching on, but on a slightly different theme. Just before we read together, let's just bow and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son, asking that Your Word would speak in power to each life here today. May Your will be done in our hearts as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few verses, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 19, and then 25 and 26. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and will be in you. Excuse me. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. For the past few weeks in John 15, Pastor Rich has taken us to an upstairs room where we've eavesdropped as Jesus is giving his disciples his last instructions prior to going to the cross. These men had witnessed his miracles, had hung on his every word and his actions as Christ explained and modeled the Father's love. He lived with them, had counseled them until their whole world revolved around him. They had been nourished by him till they were totally dependent on him. These last moments together were intense. Though they could not know how much their world would change, they heard him clearly repeat that he was leaving them. And they felt like they were about to be abandoned as orphans. As did the 11 disciples then, we've heard through Pastor Rich, Christ's allegory of the vine and the branch. And our responsibility is to, a word, abide. Abide in Christ. Abide in his love. Verses 4 and 9 of chapter 15. The results that will follow, as we learned last 2 weeks, are obedience in verse 10. Fruit bearing in verses 5 and 16. And we learned that this includes a Christ-like character and conduct, as well as converts. And in verses 7 and 16, answered prayer. The result of not abiding? Verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, what did happen in the lives of these disciples in the hours and days that followed this impassioned discourse? Did they exhibit the victorious life that abiding would bring them? No. If you have a newer translation of the scriptures, you'll note that the book of Mark has been shortened due to the fact that the earliest manuscripts, the most reliable early manuscripts, conclude at chapter 16, verse 8. And note the wording of the thoughts in this last verse. Fled the tomb. Then the thought, trembling and bewildered. And finally, saying nothing to anyone because they were too afraid to talk. Other passages state that all Christ's followers behaved like this, hiding in locked rooms after the crucifixion for over a month and a half. How sad had the story ended as the book of Mark that has been shortened ends. There is more to the story, though, isn't there? So much more. Christ knew that his disciples, both then in the upper room and we sitting here today, need more than the impassioned message as Christ had just given his disciples, and then the quick exit. Christ was about to walk out the door, eyes fixed on implementing his eternal goal of laying down his life for the people in that room, but he could not abandon them as orphans. So as they sat there, strained expressions on their faces, stomachs churning at the thought of the loss of their teacher, confidant, guide, their counselor, Christ looks into their eyes and he says in John 14, 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Another counselor to replace Christ in his earthly role as counselor. One who was so like Jesus that the early disciples interchanged the name Holy Spirit and Spirit of Christ in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You know him. Sorry, this is John 14, verses 17 and 18. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Pentecost changed the disciples from fearful to fearless. God and the person of the Holy Spirit had moved inside, and life would never be the same again. As is so often the case in Jesus' teaching, he ties together key thoughts so that we will see their interdependence. The first concept in this discourse of chapter 14, 15, and 16, and into 17, is the concept of the Holy Spirit abiding in us as believers. And the second, as we have heard through our pastor, is the command for us to abide in him. The help to accomplish the abiding in him is found in the abiding Holy Spirit. Let's examine the six characteristics of our divine counselor. First of all, you are, but you shall be. For your notes, who am I? On your insert there, who am I? Am I the person I think others think I am? Am I the person who loves to sing the old hymns or the person who yells at my spouse? Am I the one who loves to teach a Bible class but gets upset when the meal didn't turn out as planned? Follow with me as we see how the counselor Jesus Christ sees each one of us, not as others see us, nor my own distorted view of myself. In John 1, verse 42, Jesus states, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is Peter. Jesus saw Peter, Simon Peter, as only God can, the impulsive, unstable Simon would become like a rock. How could this be accomplished? Well, through first Christ counseling and then through that of the Holy Spirit, it did happen. One example of each counselor. First of all, we see in Peter's life, in John 13, verses 37 and 38, Peter says, "I'm ready to die for you." And Jesus answered, "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times." Christ's prophecy confronting Peter with his future denial of his Lord was Peter's exposure to who Peter really was, not loyal to his Lord, not trustworthy. The second one is found in Acts 10, and it was the Holy Spirit's exposing of his legalism with the vision of the sheet of unclean animals descending from heaven that a Jew would not eat. The voice of the Spirit three times commanded Peter to kill and eat, followed each time by Peter's protestations. Immediately, there was a knock on the door calling for Peter to visit the, quote, unclean Roman, Cornelius. Both times, both through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, these two times, events, if you will, became action points in Peter's life, affecting lasting change. One commentator says, the man who would curse and deny and swear that he knew any knowledge of his best friend to save his own skin became a valiant leader at Pentecost and the unshaken champion of the sect which was itself to change the world. End of quote. What could the Holy Spirit have planned for your life? One thing is for sure. The Holy Spirit longs to transform us, just as he did Peter. You are, but you shall be. Prodded to prayer. What was Pastor Rich's answer last week to the question, should I keep praying for an unsaved loved one, even though I have prayed for a long time without result? What was it? Persevere. Most likely there is no one in this room who has not had difficulty with their prayer life at some time. It is not easy when things around us are falling apart to pray. Christ, the great counselor, practiced what he preached when it came to prayer. And he also preached about prayer a lot. Sometimes we're like the little boy who told his pastor that he didn't pray every day because there's some days he didn't want anything. Well, how often should we pray? And how should we pray? And what should we pray for? With what attitude should we pray? The answers to all four questions are found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. End of quote. So we are to pray at all times. That's the often, how often part answered. The how to pray is to pray in the Spirit. For your notes, the how to pray is to pray in the Spirit. How is that? Well, how often do you lack insight as to exactly how to pray about something? Isn't it great to know that God is not waiting for us to articulate in an erudite way when we pray? The Holy Spirit pleads for us to God, the Father, as we pray. Romans 8:26 says, we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The groanings of the Holy Spirit to the Father happen as we pray. Isn't that amazing? So that answers the how to pray and the what to pray for. Finally, our attitude is to be one, in this verse, of alertness and persistence as we are praying. The purifying spirit. The Spirit's greatest work is helping us to be cleansed from sin and to overcome sin. Most of us are old enough to have seen society's standards for what is sin shift from intolerance to acceptance to boasting about it. The Church of Christ is often squeezed into the world's mold of sensitivity towards sin. Where is the Holy Spirit in all of this? The Holy Spirit is our counselor, and counselors counsel. They do not browbeat. I recall many years ago hearing the Holy Spirit referred to as a gentleman. I can, as a believer, ignore the still small voice of the counselor. He will not yell at me to get my attention. I must invite the Spirit as I begin my self-examination. As did David when he prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there is any offensive way in me." So it is wise for me to set a regular appointment with the Holy Spirit for this self-examination of my relationship with God. Many believers take time every Sunday to do this. Galatians 5, 16 to 26 paints for us as believers such a clear picture of how the Holy Spirit will, at our invitation, guide in verse 16, direct in verse 18, or lead in verse 25 to overcome sin, as it says in verse 25, in every part of our lives. The process of being guided, directed, or led is always a detailed step-by-step following. And following implies submission to the one doing the leading. Verse 17 of Galatians 5 says, "On our own, we are not free to carry out our own good intentions." How true. But the fruits of following the Spirit are found in verses 22 and 23. And of course, we don't have to repeat that, do we? Because our pastor has asked us to memorize that. Well, maybe for our visitors. What are the fruits of walking in the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. Where are we? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not much room on that list for sin, is there? Purified and empowered to stay that way, that is the Spirit's greatest work. For your notes, He is, after all, the Holy Spirit. The leading Spirit. John 16, verse 13, sitting around that upper room table still, with the disciples, Christ tells His disciples that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. What is the next step I should take now in my life? The Holy Spirit uses different ways to guide us. Scripture, circumstances, sanctified reasoning, and through His still small voice alone. His still small voice is only heard in quiet listening. The ear of the heart detects the voice of the Holy Spirit much as you do when you hear the voice of a loved one on the telephone. You can tell. Maybe take a few words for you to get it, but you can tell who it is. In the same way, with time, we discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we can differentiate between the voice of the Holy Spirit and our own subconscious. Each method that the Spirit uses is but a continuation of Jesus' earthly ministry through amplification. Why must Christians have a sense of being led? For your notes, mainly because we are carrying out purposes that are not our own. Lack of leading is like standing up here at announcement time and asking, "Anyone got a car going anywhere after the service?" Well, I recall something like this happening to me when I was a young fella. In the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilds of British Columbia, 300 miles from departure and 300 miles from destination, the car's engine blew up. My friend and I stood on either side of the road, hitchhiking in either direction. We went with the first car that came along. If we lose a sense of being led, we become the victims of circumstance. We're talking about dependency on the Spirit. The independent spirit in all of us doesn't like that word dependency. Guidance demands surrender. His will must subvert our will, and it needs to happen all the time. The Spirit will never, is never imposed on us. One of the Christian's greatest struggles is to listen for and to submit to the still small voice to guide our decisions. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Guidance by the Spirit is what the Christian life is all about. To fulfill the great commission, we must have a sense of mission that will only be fulfilled through submission. Let's use a practical example of how the Holy Spirit can lead you this week. Flip over your sermon notes and you'll notice a sheet of information there. And it's an invitation. And who is the invitation to? Anybody who's able-bodied. And what is it? It's a work day to help a Mexican pastor by painting, repairing, sewing, sanding, maybe even plumbing. Our main focus is going to be on church chairs, which are in need of repair. And you'll see in the thumbnail sketch there that this pastor, as so many of the Mexican pastors, is so fractured in what he needs to do that very often ministry can suffer. So we'll be there to help a Mexican pastor. When and where? It's Tuesday at 9 a.m. at the church. And where are we going to be? Well, in the shade, I hope. We'll be going to Empalme together. And why are we doing it? Because they're our brothers and they need help. But take this opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit, "Do you want me to do this?" Just because there's an invitation doesn't mean that all of you should come. That's not the point. What does the Lord want you to do? Be in touch with us after the service. There's a coffee time after. Talk to Nina or I about more information, what to bring, that kind of thing. And yes, there's limited work area, so no, you can't all come. But there's always other opportunities. And if you have tools like a palm sander and can't come, let us know. So there's an opportunity to let the Holy Spirit guide you this week. Then we move on to the teaching spirit. 1 John 2:27 says, "For the Spirit teaches everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. Nothing that comes from God the Holy Spirit will be different from what Christ taught. The Spirit takes those teachings and applies them to our hearts, helping us comprehend them and use them." The text here says the Spirit teaches everything you need to know. Many denominations are built around an emphasis on a particular doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not like that, is he? Christians who are taught by the Holy Spirit need never fear a lopsided faith. He makes sure we get it all when it comes to truth. So, do I need to study my Bible if the Holy Spirit's my teacher? There are actually people who believe they don't. Well, we absolutely do. The more we absorb Christ's teachings by studying them, the easier it is for the Spirit to remind us that particular truth that we are needing. We return to John 16, verse 13, and ask, can all truth include other than Christ's teachings, as recorded in Scripture? Yes, our verse tells us so. It says, He, the Spirit, will tell you about the future. Well, an example of this is found in Acts 20, verses 22 and 23. Paul talking, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in every city that jail and suffering lie ahead. End of quote. I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, gives particular knowledge or truth about a difficult decision to be made. The Spirit who is there. Life will throw each of us at some time or other overwhelming circumstances. Sometimes these trials we will carry with us through to the grave, and they do not go away. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, or call beside, and it means one who comes alongside. We really need the two words to explain who the Holy Spirit is. And those two words are comforter and counselor. The Holy Spirit is not just our advisor, but one who feels for us and with us. The word comforter in Latin means one who strengthens you by being with you. As believers, we are told to comfort one another. We comfort, but the lion's share of the comforting comes from the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So when you are overwhelmed with what life throws at you, disheartened, heartbroken, go to the supernatural Comforter. As we pray, the Spirit gives us His comforting grace to handle the pain. Have you, as so many believers, been preoccupied with the lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, and use them as a shopping list, and have therefore neglected your relationship with the giver of those gifts, the Holy Spirit? The primary role, many would say, of the Holy Spirit is simply being there for you and me. Acts 2, verse 38 says, Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For your notes, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of gifts. There are many times in life when optimism falls way short of meeting the heart need. Pleasurable diversions pale. Hobbies can't bury the pain, and alcohol compounds it. The only sure comfort is the comfort of God through His Spirit. Answers to the why? Often we have to wait to eternity for those. Strength to carry on now, however, is the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Let's cast our minds back quickly over these attributes. First of all, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, works in us to draw out of us the potential God has built into us, the person God sees us to be. And on Mother's Day, it just hit me that before our mothers even gave birth to us, God had a plan for our lives. And He is waiting to reveal it to us. And the Holy Spirit is there to do that. He works to build our prayer life. He talks takes over for us when we don't know how or what to pray, praying to the Father for us. He gently shows us our sin and guides us how to get rid of that sin. He guides us several ways, including his still small voice, giving knowledge and wisdom when the way ahead is not clear, showing us the way forward. He teaches us and reminds us of truth. Finally, he comforts us when we need it most and gives us the strength to carry on, even though we do not have all the answers to our predicament. These wonderful resources are available to us from the moment we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, will, as we surrender to him and open up to him, take us from muddling through life to being more than conquerors in all that life, our sinful nature, and the devil can throw at us. Take one step toward him, and he will open the storehouse of his six characteristics to us, leading us to victory. Let's pray. Father, as we have cast our minds over this precious person that you have gifted to us, that you talked about with your disciples before you left to go to heaven, leaving them as they felt orphaned. Lord, I pray that we will use and take advantage of the person and work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Lord, when things come into our life, help us to be reminded by the Holy Spirit of all that you can be and to us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this gift of gifts. Help us to open the gift and use it every way that you would have for us, and build us into the persons that you would have us to be. We pray this week that you will help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.